Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Friday afternoon, November 14th. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Chicago-based barbecue brand built on 160-year-old recipes is launching a hands-on turkey smoking class packed with flavor. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, sometimes it's a good idea to get a second opinion, not only for your health, but also for your finances. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group based in Chicago. Okay, Ed, give it to me straight. When is it a good idea to seek a second opinion?
Hey, Rob, with stock markets going up, the vast majority of investors think, wow, you know, my advisor is great when viewed just through the lens of investments. But you have to look at this through the overall holistic planning side, which can add a lot of value to your overall financial health. And just like physical health, Rob, right? If a doctor suggests a plan of care that sounds radical or doesn't sit well, you will most likely seek a second opinion from a doctor. The same thing from a financial side. If someone's trying to sell you a product or service that just doesn't sit well, getting that second opinion is always a good idea.
And to carry on this this medical analogy, there are a number of situations in which maybe a second opinion really does make a lot of sense. And the first one is you've been through a major life event. And what are some of those major life events? And in those major events, when does it make sense to seek out that second opinion?
Well, probably the most that we could probably think about is when spouses, right? You become a widow or widower, right? So the life that you had sort of thought about in the future that you had planned is now changed, right? That future isn't gone, but it just takes a new form. And it's a great idea to review that new chapter in terms of reestablishing the goals. But what's really important, Rob, is be careful. You know, when a life event happens that creates a lot of emotions, be careful to lean on that trusted family member and advisor, because what we want to have make sure is that you've got a clear mind and that someone's not taking advantage of the fact that you're in this emotional state.
And then another time to seek a second opinion really is when your advisor either talks about one thing or avoids talking about another. In one case you mentioned before, talking only about investments, but at the same time, not really talking about taxes. And I feel like that's a discussion that we have on this program all the time.
Huge part of what we do, Rob, as a certified financial planner and the comprehensive nature of our work, taxes are a very important element to the overall financial plan. And so as we all know, you know, we love when our clients pay taxes because you're doing something well, but not a nickel more. So if your advisor isn't adept at talking about taxes or avoids that conversation completely, maybe you want to seek, you know, again, another advisor who could be more holistic in their overall approach.
There are professional standards, obviously, Ed, but if you've been working with a financial planner for a very long time, or maybe that financial planner is a relative or a longtime friend, and they find out that you sought out a second opinion from someone else, they could be offended. So how do you broach that conversation and do it in a diplomatic way?
Yeah, it's a great point, Rob. So when people come out to us to seek second opinions, it's a question of transparency or not. So when we're going through a plan that someone else had done or an advisor has never done a plan, then it's a matter of what we're trying to accomplish. So to your point, right, you can be direct and upfront with the advisor to say, hey, I'm getting a second opinion, or just do it maybe on the quiet. But if that second opinion comes up with things that just don't look right in terms of the original advisor, that's where those conversations come in, which again, we guide clients in terms of having those conversations, but at the end of the day, what everyone has to remember, this is your money. This is your hard-earned money. You want to make sure that you've got the team in place and the advisors in tape to help you navigate that as best as you can going forward.
Ed Jurtzen, Certified Financial Planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. You can find him online at engagewealthgroup.com. Coming up, Old Arthur's brings generation of barbecue mastery to a new turkey smoking class, blending technique, history, and lots of eating.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Hey, it's Entrepreneur Friday, part one. Today, we check back in with a Chicago-based barbecue company whose 160-year-old family recipes, born from an enslaved pitmaster's craft, now anchor a growing family business. They're also offering a new class on smoking your Thanksgiving turkey, complete with plenty of eating while still learning the craft. Welcome in Udell Watts IV, co-founder of Old Arthur's Barbecue Sauce and Dry Rubs in Chicago. Find them online at oldarthurs.com. Udell, thank you for joining us today. Now, I know when you have a multi-generational family business, especially with recipes that go back over a century, there are still some family secrets that are contained in each of those recipes. So if we take the turkey smoking class, Udell, do we learn a few of those secrets of the business, or do they still remain under lock and key?
You'll certainly get quite a few of the techniques that we've employed in our family over literally the last six generations. The flavors, you'll have to get those inside of our sauces and rubs, but you'll certainly learn the techniques.
Now, this is a great time to have this class, Udell, because I am someone who has smoked turkeys before on Thanksgiving, but never as the main bird. I will do a breast. I will do the secondary bird, because you don't want to go through all of this time and effort to smoke your turkey, and then that's the centerpiece of Thanksgiving dinner, and you're still sitting outside at 7 or 8 o'clock at night waiting for it to hit the ideal temperature. So this class is a vital service, Udell, because it'll avoid a lot of stress and heartbreak come Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. And we'll teach how to time it, how to select the right bird for the crowd that you're feeding, and just how to ensure that it comes out of the smoker, off of the grill, tender, moist, and delicious.
And then when it comes to just being a pit master, and this this is a family legacy that, of course, is born in one of the darkest chapters of American history, how did this tradition begin of being a pit master? It began on an estate in the South.
Absolutely. So my great-great-grandfather, and you can see all this history on our website, oldarthurs.com, including photos of him. But my grandfather, a great-great-grandfather, was born into slavery in Kansas City, Missouri, not that far south. He was owned by a farm that sold meat commercially in the Kansas City area from about the age of 14 on. It was his job to prepare that meat over open pit. Did so all day, every day, until he was freed at the end of the Civil War at the age of 28. From the age of 28 on until his time of his accidental death at 108, that's how he made a living, literally through open pit barbecuing.
Now, when it comes to you're doing it open pit style, I think most of us, you know, we have, depending on your smoker, maybe it's electric, maybe it's the firebox is off to the side, maybe you have a big green egg, maybe you have a Traeger where a lot of the smoking is done for you. But open pit barbecue is literally the old-fashioned way. And without taking the class, you know, what are some of the ways for those of us who want to kick the tires on it? What are some of the ways in which you could succeed at open pit at the open pit style?
Well, you know, the open pit style itself is a tradition that is almost lost in American culture. It's, you know, if you look at some of the other cultures that do live fire cooking, if you're trying to do that yourself, you just need to appreciate that if you're cooking on a gas grill, you can do it on a gas grill, believe it or not, or a big green egg, or some other charcoal or wood-based cooker. You have to have a safety zone. Cook in the safety zone. Have your fire off to either the left or the right. You cook opposite of that. And so you're using the convection heat that is generated under the hood, but you're not cooking directly over your fire.
I was going to say, this barbecue class tomorrow, obviously there's going to be a lot of eating and sampling of the wares over the course of this class, but in a way, it's almost like a science class. You need to learn about the physics of heat and where hot air goes once it comes out of the fire.
We will talk about fire management. We'll talk about heat flow inside of your smoker or grill. We'll talk about the science behind that smoke ring, or what is actually scientifically known as the Maillard effect, and how that all translates into the perfect bird come Thanksgiving afternoon.
And then very quickly, how much prep time, if you're going to smoke, especially in the open pit style, how much prep time is required leading up to Thanksgiving Day? I mean, for example, you know, my turkey goes in the brine the night before or even the day before just to soak up all of those juices. Is this a 36-hour or a 48-hour operation?
It's a 24-hour operation, honestly. I put the turkeys for tomorrow's class, went into the brine this morning at about 8 o'clock. So come tomorrow morning at about 7 o'clock, they'll go on for the class that'll start at 2:30.
Udell Watts IV, co-founder, Old Arthur's Barbecue Sauces and Dry Rubs. He'll tell you how to smoke your bird tomorrow. Check him out online at oldarthurs.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Getting the best value for your trade-in starts long before you reach the dealership. Prepping your car and knowing its true market value are key. Let's bring on Matt Jones, spokesman, True Car, based in Los Angeles. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And I feel like after this year where we had to replace both of our cars, Matt, I see myself as a little bit of an expert when it comes to trade-in value for vehicles. And of course, the first thing I did in both instances was go to Kelley Blue Book and Edmunds and other resources to just see the ballpark value of the two vehicles. And I have to say, in both experiences trading it in, the dealerships honored them.
Yeah, and actually you did the right thing. You want to get a couple different source points, and I'm glad to hear that the dealerships honored them. You know, as technology advances and people start doing more stuff online, dealerships are catching on, and some dealerships are even allowing people to upload pictures so that they can have a real firm idea of what that car is worth ahead of time, saving headache like what was in the environment that you went through.
And one thing that that kind of takes maybe the haggling out of the equation is that in both instances, I was asked just to hand over, provide the VIN for both vehicles, and they had the VIN and looked it up themselves, and they knew the mileage and had a pretty good ballpark figure of what the car was worth even before I showed up.
Yeah, that's isn't that great? Like, it just saves us a lot of time. But there's still the steps that we want to do when we do show up. And I'll tell you, sometimes people take their cars to the dealership and their cars actually look too good. They spend a lot of time detailing it or having all the problems fixed, new tires, new brakes. And I would actually encourage people to not necessarily do that, because you might be able to save yourself some money, because a dealership is going to, you know, replace the stuff that's broken anyway, and they can do it cheaper than what you can. So I would tell people to, you know, do exactly what you did, but don't spend any money repairing the car before you trade it in, especially if you're trading it in at a dealer, like a bigger dealership.
Yeah, it's not like a house where if you well, you put on a coat of paint, you might add a couple of $1,000 to the sale price of that house. Now, I heard some horror stories from the dealerships that I went to this year. It wasn't about us, but about other people when they're trading in their car, and they have to, the dealership has to get these giant bags so they can transfer all of their stuff from the trade-in to the new car. And you're probably better off doing all that stuff at home ahead of time.
Absolutely. Get all your stuff, including the old French fries. Get all of that stuff out of the car. You want the car to look clean and presentable. And here's an inside pro tip. I don't know why it is this way, but when people trade in their cars, that car has a full tank of gas. It does something to the people at the dealership, and it makes them like the car more. Keep the car interior clean. Keep the dash wiped down. Don't have it sparkling, because then you give up the, like, they know that you want to trade it in right there. You don't want to do that. But have it looking clean, and don't have a bunch of goop in the car, because it actually devalues it. It's just an emotional thing.
And then lastly, is 100,000 miles, is that still as much of a mechanical or psychological barrier as it once was?
Not anymore. Cars are, you know, I think that 100 has been pushed to 150. If you go back about 10, 15 years, we really kind of blew past that 100,000-mile barrier. In fact, some cars don't even need their first major tune-up until they hit 100,000 miles. So, you know, when cars were a lot more mechanically based 20, 30 years, a lot less technology-based, electronic-based, absolutely right. But if you've got a car that was made after 2010, 100,000 miles isn't a way to be scared of if you're buying or selling.
Matt Jones, spokesman, True Car in Los Angeles. Thank you for joining us today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The markets are mixed. The Dow is down 214 points. The NASDAQ is up 78. The S&P 500 up 10. Joining us in the Village Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Tim Grisky, Senior Portfolio Strategist at Ingalls & Snyder in New York. Tim, thank you for joining us today. And this has been kind of a whipsaw day on Wall Street. The markets opened universally in the red, but the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ have recovered and then some.
They certainly have. I think You need to look long-term with investing, Rob. I think the short-term, you'll just get whiplashed. Yesterday, there was a big sell-off in tech. It had to do with a company called CoreWeave, which is basically a reseller of NVIDIA's high-end semiconductor chips. And NVIDIA simply can't produce chips fast enough to meet the demand of CoreWeave's customers. So this is not a bad thing for the market at all. And you see the recovery today.
Now, there have been a lot of questions regarding just the future of AI investment. Of course, as you point out, you can't make the chips fast enough these days because everybody needs to build up their AI capacity. They need to build up data centers, and that eventually all of these bets, hopefully, at least on the part of those investors, those bets will pay off. But what if they don't? Or what if they aren't nearly as lofty as expectations? What does that mean for the economy?
Well, it certainly means bad things for the semiconductor industry if that were to happen. We just don't see that at all. We really think AI is a revolutionary technology akin to the Industrial Revolution. But it really is taking technology into the future, and it's going to create speed in terms of information that we can't even imagine. So AI is really, we think, going to be a big part of the future here.
And then we do we will start to get more government economic data starting soon, as the government rumbles back to life after that 40-plus day shutdown. And are there any concerns about maybe some surprises lurking inside the backwards-looking information, or can you disregard that?
No, I think there's going to be real scrutiny of the data back to when the shutdown started and we didn't have access to all the economic data that the government puts out. There's going to be a huge flush of data here, not all at once, over a period of probably about a month, but we will get that data and it will be very telling in terms of the direction of interest rates and the direction of the economy. So we're looking forward to that. We don't know if it's all going to be good or all going to be bad, but it likely will be more mixed than anything. But it's going to be critical, we think, to the financial markets.
Speaking of interest rates, prediction markets for a December rate cut went from 95% a month ago to 51% today. And what is driving that hedging?
It's really been driven by Chairman Powell, who said he wasn't convinced that a decrease in the Fed funds rate in December was going to occur. And that has slowly but surely impacted the markets. But I think the key here will be the release of data on the economy during the next month. And we'll see how that impacts the direction the Fed takes. The Fed is only going to either stay flat, stay even, or they're going to decrease rates by a quarter of a basis point. So we're not talking about anything major here, but it certainly is another factor that's going to be watched in terms of the future of the economy and of the markets.
Tim Griske, Senior Portfolio Strategist at Ingalls & Snyder in New York. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next, Entrepreneur Friday, talking to a family salon business, taking that business and expanding it into the beauty appliance industry by acquiring Solano. We'll talk about this story of growth.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. We meet the man carrying the legacy of a family salon business while expanding into a company that provides industry professionals with the tools of the trade. We welcome in Alan Kossoff, President and CEO of Solano and Kossoff Beauty, based in Northfield, Illinois. Alan, thank you for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about the history of the family business.
Well, it's great to be on with everyone. You know, it's a 50-year celebration of beauty on Chicago's North Shore, and my father announced his retirement recently, so there's a new chapter that's going to be laid forward for our beauty professionals, and we're really excited about the future announcements we'll be making about that.
How has the approach to beauty salons and it, how has that changed over the years? Because I would imagine 50 years ago, 1975, it was still a world of lots of hairspray, lots of curlers sitting under that hair drying machine that you would see in the movies. And it's a very different experience and experiential, a different type of experience today.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's all about personalized service. And one thing that we learned post-COVID is that the beauty business can adapt, and it has. And today, there are so many different ways that consumers can experience their way that they want to see themselves in the mirror. And Chicago and the Chicagoland market has an amazing talent pool of stylists. And we urge everybody to get into the salons and see their stylists and patronize their businesses.
And that must have been a really shaky time, especially for the salon business. Not only just because for 2 months or 3 months the businesses were closed by state order, but then you had a lot of people who were working from home and they weren't going out for special occasions and they didn't necessarily need that trip to the salon. So how did you adapt, and when did you know that things may be heading back to normal?
Well, you know what? There was a big pop, you know, when the reopenings took place, and you know, beauty services are here to stay, and Amazon hasn't figured it out yet, and I don't think they're going to do it anytime soon. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let AI cut my hair. But I'll tell you this: with what we have planned for the future, the salon experience is going to be something that is going to be more refined and more customized. More attention to hair health, scalp health, and that leads us into our professional high-performance tools, our company Solano, and what we're able to provide here in Chicago, because while we import from Italy, we're a small family business here in the Chicagoland market, and we offer exceptional customer service. We have a repair center, we have technicians, so anyone who's thinking about, you know, making purchases, especially for the holidays, should consider, you know, patronizing those local businesses. So think local, shop local, and Solano is a Chicago family business.
And Solano, this is professional grade gear. And when you made the decision to branch off into the equipment side of the salon business, how much thought and how much analysis went into that decision before you pulled the trigger?
You know, it's actually something that developed during the COVID period, where I had aspirations of getting into distribution for professional beauty products. And Solano has a tremendous legacy and reputation for professionals first, but it was also introduced to consumers years ago. And that allowed us, you know, to propel forward and invest in this company. And today we see Solano on the comeback, and people want to invest in something that's going to give them a long life. And in the instance that there's something that goes wrong, again, because we offer a unique service where in the appliance world today, you use it and you discard it. And we've seen trends where the life cycle for what we invest in is shorter and shorter. And with professional tools that we manufacture, the quality coming from Italy, you're going to get a long-lasting, durable experience. And when there is an issue, you have a local access to repair service, which people should take advantage of.
Alan Kossoff, president and CEO of Solano and Kossoff Beauty in Northfield, Illinois. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Still to come, are airports really ready for the Thanksgiving rush? We'll talk about it next.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Now that the government shutdown is over, many people are wondering, will air travel be back to normal for Thanksgiving, or should we still brace for delays? Let's bring on Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And even though the government shutdown is over and appropriations are flowing freely once again, the FAA delays are still in effect. That 6% across the board reduction in service is still set in stone, at least for now. We didn't get to the 10% level, Joe, but it's going to take a while for all those controllers who may have been doing something else for the last month to go back to work.
That's right. We did get some fresh news on this today from the FAA indicating how retirements accelerated for air traffic controllers, you know, during this very stressful period, usually about 4 a day or so, and they're getting more like 15 a day or per week. And that's caused delays, concerns that delays are going to persist for a little bit because the towers just aren't ready for full traffic. So we do think there are going to be some lingering delays. You know, thankfully, it won't be as big as it's been over the last week.
We are 12 days away from the day before Thanksgiving. And is that enough time for the air traffic system to approach something approximating normal?
You know, I do think that's the good news in this story, that we do have some runway left for Thanksgiving. Next week, we're still going to see some lingering effects. These 6% cuts are in place. I suspect those are going to come down to just a handful, maybe 2 or 3%, if no limits at all by Thanksgiving. And what we're seeing is the airlines are mostly canceling their regional flights. So you look at flights operated by SkyWest or Piedmont, these regional jets. You know, we're seeing 7-8% canceled, but on the mainline planes, we're down to about 3% on the big United, American, and Delta jets. I think that's all going to come down, so there's just a handful at Thanksgiving. But boy, it just depends a bit on how quick these controllers come back to the tower and the retirement trends hopefully slow down a bit.
And then when it comes to repositioning equipment to resume full normal operations, does that take a lot of time, or was putting the bulk of cancellations on the smaller regional jet flights, was that designed to make sure you weren't doing nearly as many equipment moves as you would be with those larger mainline planes?
That's exactly right. A lot of those planes shuttle back and forth, for example, being Chicago, O'Hare to Green Bay and back, where you'll see regional airlines shuttle. They have a lot of routes like that. So the planes are where they need to be when the full activity resumes. And airlines, as painful as this has been, we have avoided what I call large-scale meltdowns, where they just have to put people up overnight at the hubs. They cancel people's reservation with no options. They've mostly avoided that. I'm not saying there's not been a lot of pain, but so they're in a better position to recover now because they're not out of whack, you might say, as we saw, say, with the Southwest debacle 2 years ago. So that, too, brings some optimism.
And at very least, you can plan for this. You know when the government shutdown is going to end. We talk about this, but the irony is, the biggest wrench that could be thrown into Thanksgiving weekend is a blizzard showing up somewhere.
That's right. And, you know, the pilot labor laws and so forth have kind of been stretched during this period because you're changing schedules, you're keeping pilots overnight in places you might not otherwise. So when you throw in another variable like that, things get tricky. I will say, though, that airlines do have a lot more spare equipment and spare crews than they did 2 years ago because they got the message the hard way from Congress. Either you become more reliable or we're going to come in and fix it for you. So that also gives them a little bit of buffer. So Thanksgiving, there's a bit of optimism in the air.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University. Thank you for joining us today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.